Chapter 13. Lexi, Nans, and Ida stood on the steps of the museum, looking at the giant concrete building that took up almost a whole city block.
"It sure is big," Ida said.
"Where do we start?" Lexi asked.
"I have a pretty good idea," Nans replied. "Follow me."
She started up the steps. Lexi and Ida fell in beside her. Nans looked at Lexi.
"Did you get any new clues out of Jack last night?"
"Only that Wiggins was shot with a .22 caliber, the same type of gun that killed Veronica and Philippe." Nans nodded and reached out to open the glass door that led into the front lobby of the museum.
"Ruth discovered that Wiggins made a lot of expensive purchases recently,"
she whispered as the three of them filed inside. Ida pursed her lips together.
"Well, that makes sense with a wedding coming up. They are very expensive."
Lexi nodded, thinking about all the recent charges on her credit cards. Florist, caterer, wedding dress. And Stuart was getting married in Paris. She could only imagine what that would cost. They stood in the cavernous lobby. The marble floor was so shiny, Lexi could almost see her reflection. Carved archways set in marble walls opened to hallways that exited from the lobby. A golden sarcophagus sat on the left, behind a rope display. To the right, a smiling woman sat behind a large mahogany desk. In front of them, signs on top of a large doorway directed them to various exhibits. Nans took off toward the dinosaurs. Lexi and Ida followed her down the hall, their footsteps echoing hollowly. She took a right into the dinosaur exhibit that opened up into a giant room. Lexi looked up. The ceiling must have been 6 stories high. Different types of dinosaurs, Lexi assumed they were life-size since they were so large, loomed around the room. Some just bones, others made to look exactly like they would have when they roamed the earth. In one corner, a teacher pointed out various aspects of a triceratops to her class of young children. Nan stopped at the Tyrannosaurus Rex display.
"The T-Rex is my favorite," Ida said,
tilting her head back to look up at the dinosaur.
"I always liked the Velociraptors,"
Nans replied as she moved to the next exhibit. They made their way slowly around the room. Lexi feigned interest while Nans pointed out different aspects of each exhibit. Lexi was almost ready to fall asleep when their path took them to the security guard, who stood next to one of the displays.
"Hello,"
Nans smiled at the guard.
"Ma'am,"
the guard nodded.
"It must be wonderful to work in such an interesting place."
Nans waved her hand to indicate all the displays. Lexi eyed her cautiously, wondering what she was up to.
"It's a great job," the guard replied patiently.
"Did you know the guard that was killed recently? Stuart Wiggins?"
Nans asked.
"My granddaughter here was good friends with his fiancée. Such a shame."
Lexi's stomach twisted. Good friends?
"It was a shame. I didn't know him well, but Eddie Sharp and him were best buds. Eddie usually works the displays in the West Wing."
The guard pointed to a door on the left, in between a skeleton of a bird-like dinosaur and a diorama of a Paleolithic forest floor, complete with dinosaur family and giant ferns.
"Thanks."
Nans nodded at the guard.
"I'm sure Lexi will want to give her condolences, right, Lexi?"
Yeah, right, of course, Lexi stammered. She wasn't nearly as comfortable lying as Nans. Nans took off toward the door, and Lexi practically had to sprint to keep up with her. They marched into the next room, and Lexi felt her breath catch in her throat. It was like going into a different world. Glass cases loaded with sparkly jewelry and gems lined all 4 sides of the room. In the center, tall glass displays filled with crowns were lined up in a row. Each display had its own lighting, which seemed to be calibrated to coax the maximum amount of sparkle out of each and every facet of each and every gemstone. Ida summed up Lexi's thoughts in one word. Wow. Nance wasn't distracted by the glitter. She had a job to do. She marched right over to the guard standing in the corner.
Are you Eddie?
Nance asked. The guard's eyes flickered from Nance to Lexi to Ida uncertainly.
Yes.
We heard we could find you here. We wanted to tell you how sorry we are about Stuart and Veronica.
Nance gestured to Lexi.
Lexi here went to school with Veronica, and she's quite broken up about the whole thing.
Lexi nodded and tried to act broken up.
Really?
Eddie frowned at Lexi.
I don't think we've ever met.
Oh, sorry. Lexi stuck her hand out. Lexi Baker. Veronica and I recently reconnected, so I don't know a lot of her friends yet. Lexi soothed her conscience by telling herself it wasn't really a lie. She and Veronica had recently reconnected, just not in the friendly way she was implying. Eddie shook her hand, his eyes darting around the room nervously. Lexi wondered if it was against the rules to shake hands with the customers.
It's just such a mystery, Nan said. Do you have any idea what they were into that would have made someone want to kill them?
Eddie's eyes went wide. He shuffled his feet.
I don't know what you mean.
Nance leaned in closer to him and whispered,
Well, they were murdered. Must have been a reason.
Lexi watched Eddie's face harden as he narrowed his eyes at Nance.
Veronica was acting kind of odd. I figured that was due to the upcoming wedding. But her friend Ramona was acting really strange, too.
Nance perked up.
Oh, in what way?
I don't know. Jittery? Like something was going on?
Any idea what they were up to?
Eddie shrugged, then glanced around the room again.
Sorry, lady. I shouldn't be talking so much.
He stepped backwards, away from Nan's, bumped into one of the displays, and whirled around, relaxing when he saw what he had bumped into. Nan's eyebrows rose up. Lexi knew what she was thinking. Eddie sure was nervous.
Well, thanks for your time, and we're sorry for your loss, Nan said,
and then turned and walked toward the exit. On the way out of the museum, Nan's cell phone erupted into a chorus of bird tweets. She stopped and opened her giant old lady purse, handing Lexi a flashlight, small packet of tissues, container of Tums, a tube of lipstick, and a mirror before she found the phone. While Nan's fiddled with her phone, Lexi returned the items to the purse.
It's your parents. They want to meet me for lunch.
Nan sounded disappointed.
I'd really like to continue on this investigation, but I hate to put them off, since they'll only be here a short time.
We could meet for a quick lunch, maybe? Lexi suggested.
Is that okay with you, Ida?
Sure, why not? I love a free lunch, Ida said.
Nan slid her eyes over to Ida as she punched the buttons on her phone.
I didn't say anything about free.
Ida shrugged and laughed.
It never hurts to ask.
Hi, Roy, Nance chirped into the phone. It would be lovely to meet you for lunch. I'm actually out with Lexi now. She took Ida and me to the senior center. Maybe the three of us could meet at the streetcar diner, say in 45 minutes.
Lexi lifted a brow at Nance. She had to admit, she was becoming mildly concerned with the ease her grandmother could spit out lies.
Okay, great. See you then.
Nan snapped the phone shut. Senior center? Lexi asked. Nan's laughed.
Well, I couldn't very well tell them what we're up to. Believe me, the less Roy and Vera know about my sleuthing, the better for all of us. And I'm sure you don't want them knowing that you're a suspect in a triple murder.
True, Lexi said. I guess a little white lie never hurt anyone. They hopped into Lexi's VW Beetle and headed back to Brook Ridge Falls. Almost 40 minutes later, they pulled into the parking lot at the streetcar diner. The old-fashioned diner sat smack in the middle of the downtown area and was decorated to look like a streetcar on the outside and an old-fashioned diner on the inside. Lexi parked in the side lot. Her parents' RV was already there, taking up a good portion of the small lot. Lexi wondered how her father had maneuvered it in there without hitting something. Bells tinkled as Lexi pulled open the door and stood back to let Nance and Ida enter ahead of her. She searched the gleaming interior of the diner for her parents, her eyes flitting over the glass pedestal cake displays, standing on the steel-edged Formica counter. A row of round stools sat in front of the counter, their red naga hide tops twirling on gleaming steel bases. Behind the counter, Lexi could see through to the kitchen, which was abuzz with activity.
Yoo-hoo! Over here!
Lexi heard her mother's voice over the din of conversation and clanking plates. Turning toward the voice, she saw her mother waving frantically from a booth next to the window. Even without the frantic waving, it would have been hard not to notice Vera, with the brilliant red shirt plastered with appliqué leaves in orange and yellow she was wearing. Lexi glanced at her father in a plain white shirt, feeling relief for him that her mother hadn't forced him to wear a shirt that matched hers. They slid into the booth, Lexi next to her father, and Nance and Ida beside her mother. Greetings were exchanged, and then everyone buried their faces in the glossy, plastic-covered menus.
What are you getting?
Lexi asked her father.
The Chicken Club.
He closed his menu and returned it to the metal holder at the edge of the table.
I'm trying to watch what I eat, so I'm just getting pie and a coffee, Vera announced.
Pie sounds good to me, Ida said, sliding her menu into the holder.
The heck with you light eaters. I'm getting a cheeseburger, fries, and a chocolate milkshake.
Nan slapped her menu shut.
I think a grilled cheese will hit the spot for me.
Lexi always craved a good grilled cheese once the weather started to turn. And even though it was still early fall with warm days, the nights were getting colder.
So, how was the senior center? Vera asked.
Lexi looked at Nance, who didn't skip a beat.
Oh, it was lovely. They were giving out flu shots, so Ida and I wanted to take advantage of that. Plus, we got to see Myrna Fisk's crocheted toilet paper covers.
Lexi bit the side of her cheek and looked out the window to keep from laughing. The diner was across the street from Chez Philippe, and it looked like someone was inside.
Shouldn't the shop be closed for the investigation?
She squinted and leaned closer to the window. A movement inside caught her eye.
Someone was in there.
The waitress came and she tore herself away from the window to order. She kicked Nance under the table and jerked her head at the window to get Nance's attention. Nance jumped.
Is something wrong, dear?
Everyone at the table stared at Lexi. She didn't want to say anything in front of her parents. If her mother got wind of the investigation, there's no telling what she would do. Lexi's mouth said no, but she stared at Nance, her eyes saying yes. Apparently, Nance didn't get it, though, because she merely gave Lexi a funny look, then continued on with the conversation the rest of them were having.
Notions for your wedding dress.
Vera's voice penetrated Lexi's thoughts.
What? Lexi asked. Notions? Weren't notions sewing things?
like the leaves Vera had appliqued to the garish shirt she wore? Lexi had a sudden image of her beautiful, sophisticated gown, cluttered up with oversized pieces of lace, buttons, and colorful leaf appliques. "I don't think my dress needs any notions," Lexi said. "I had it custom designed, you know. I want it exactly the way it is."
"Custom designed?" Vera frowned at Lexi. "I hope it wasn't that Philippe guy. I heard about the messy business at his shop."
Lexi's stomach pinched. "Oh, what did you hear?" Vera leaned forward and lowered her voice. "He was murdered, along with some young girl. Maybe his lover. He was almost 70, but still looked quite good for his age. Anyway, I heard he had gotten into financial trouble, so that probably had something to do with the murder." Lexi exchanged a look with Ida and Nans.
"Where did you hear about the financial trouble?"
"Oh, you know, around town." Vera waved her hand in the air. "Anyway, I'm not changing anything on your dress. I just need some pieces so I can let it out a bit. According to my measurements, it's a little small for you. Did you gain weight since you had it fitted?" Lexi bristled at the comment, then remembered how the bust had seemed a little tight when she last tried it on in the shop. She didn't think she'd gained weight, but she'd been so busy with wedding plans, she hadn't exactly been paying attention to the scales. "Oh, here comes our food," Vera announced, saving Lexi from having to think any more about her weight gain. The waitress set the plates in front of them, and all conversation stopped while everyone focused on their lunch. Lexi leaned against the cushioned naugahyde backrest and contemplated her grilled cheese. Cheese was fattening, wasn't it? Maybe she should have ordered a salad. Her stomach grumbled in disagreement. She picked up the sandwich and nibbled on an edge. Her attention drifted across the street to Chez Philippe. Someone was definitely in there, going from the front room to the back. She needed to get over there right away. But how could she brush off her parents without hurting their feelings? "Are you going to eat all those fries?" she asked Nans, while covertly jerking her head toward the window.
"Help yourself."
Nans turned her plate so the side with the fries was facing Lexi.
"Is something wrong with your neck?"
Lexi widened her eyes and looked toward the window.
"No."
Nans squinted at her. Then her face dawned with understanding, and she looked out the window, her eyes lighting up when she realized where Lexi was looking. Nan shoved the last of her burger into her mouth, then reached for the stainless steel napkin holder on the end of the table. Pulling out several small square napkins, she used them to wrap the rest of her fries and shoved the package into her purse.
"Well, we'd better hurry," Nan said.
Ida looked up from her pie.
"What? I'm still working on the whipped topping here."
"We don't want to miss your orthopedic shoe appointment," Lexi said,
feeling a little dismayed at how easy she came up with the lie. Almost as easy as Nan's. Maybe lying ran in the family. Ida scrunched up her face.
"But I don't."
Lexi kicked her under the table and gave her the look. Ida's eyes went wide, and she continued.
"Want to miss that appointment? No siree, I missed it last week and there was hell to pay."
Ida shoved the rest of the pie in her mouth and blotted her lips with a napkin. Lexi's father pushed his empty plate away.
"I'm ready to go myself. What about you, Vera?"
"Oh, sure,"
Vera twittered as she sipped the last of her coffee. As if on cue, the waitress brought the check. Lexi's dad insisted on paying.
"You guys go so that you can get to your appointment."
"Thanks, Dad."
Lexi gave him a peck on the cheek before sliding out of the booth. She blew her mom a kiss while she herded Nans and Ida toward the door.
"There's someone in Chez Philippe," Lexi said as soon as they were outside.
Nance and Ida looked over at the store just in time to see a shadow move in the corner.
I see it. Let's go confront them. We have the element of surprise on our side.
Ida started across the street, and Nance grabbed her arm to pull her back.
Not yet, Nance said. We have to move Lexi's car. Otherwise, Vera and Roy might recognize it in the parking lot when they leave.
They hustled over to Lexi's car and drove around the block until they saw the RV drive away. Lexi pulled into a spot in front of Chez Philippe, and they tumbled out of the car and sprinted to the door. Lexi stopped short, her hand on the cold metal door handle. This could be dangerous.
Great. We love danger, right, Ida?
Nance looked at Ida, who nodded. Lexi took a deep breath and tried the door. It was open. She slipped inside with Nance and Ida right behind her. Light filtered into the main room from the back, and Lexi could hear muffled noises. Someone was back there.
Should we announce ourselves or surprise them?
Ida whispered.
We don't want to tip them off. Let's keep quiet, and maybe we'll catch them in the act.
Nance tiptoed toward the back room. Lexi's stomach tightened as she followed her. That could be the killer back there. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Nance stood against the wall next to the opening to the back room. She poked her head around the doorway, then motioned Lexi and Ida to follow her in. Lexi stood in the doorway, confused. Standing with her back to them and holding one of the drawers from her sewing cabinet was Philippe's seamstress. Millie? Lexi asked. Millie whirled around. The box fell from her hands, clattering on the floor. Beads and pearls bounced all over the place. She had her silver hair up in a bun. Some strands had loosened and framed her heart-shaped face. For the first time, Lexi realized that Millie was still quite attractive for a woman nearing 70. Millie's hands flew up to her heart.
What are you doing here?
Lexi immediately felt bad for frightening the woman. I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. She ran over to the fallen box and started herding the beads back into it.
We saw someone in here and came to investigate, Nance explained. Isn't the shop closed due to the, events of the past week?
The police are done with their investigation, Millie said briskly. I came in to finish up some of the dresses. Even though the shop is technically closed, the brides still need their gowns.
It's such a shame what happened, Ida said. So senseless. I mean, why would someone kill that nice man?
Nan's question sounded innocent enough, but Lexi knew it was designed to get Millie to talk about any suspicions she had. Lexi was finding the job of rounding up all the errant beads impossible, so she shoved as many of them as she could into the box and stood up, holding the box out to Millie.
I have no idea, Millie said, snatching the box from Lexi.
Well, if something was amiss in the business, or Mr. Montague's personal life, I'm sure you would have noticed.
Nance winked at her.
The assistants always know everything.
Millie put down the box and grabbed scissors and a roll of lace with trembling hands.
There was nothing amiss here, she said sharply.
Her eyes darted around the room to avoid looking directly at Nance.
Now, if you ladies don't mind, I need to get to work on these dresses.
Of course, sorry to bother you, Nance said, and turned to leave.
Lexi and Ida muttered goodbyes and followed Nance out to Lexi's car. As they buckled themselves in, Nance said,
Well, I'd say our day today was very productive. Let's go back to my place and fill everything in on the board.
Yeah, Ida said. And we might move Millie to our suspect list.
Lexi's brow creased.
Why is that?
Did you see the way her hands were shaking?
Ida asked.
I can guarantee she must have been very nervous about something.
How do you know?
She can't be that shaky normally. No seamstress could sew worth a darn with quivering hands like that.